rise of the New World Order. It's Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geiser.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chase Geiser. I am your host. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight. We will be broadcasting live from this moment at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time until 11 p.m. Central Time every weeknight for as long as the New World Order fails to silence this operation. Now, I'm told that there are very challenging times ahead for InfoWars, and that these could be the last few weeks. Now, I know this is something that we've said over the course of many years, and every time that we've said it, it's been true. It's just that we've had divine intervention from God himself up until this point, preventing us from shutting down. Very similar to what we saw in Butler, Pennsylvania last year with Donald Trump. But it's been miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, it's amazing to me when I look at the technocrats like the Zuckerbergs and the Bezoses and the others who've come out and said, man, I didn't know that I was going to support Trump or whether I was going to support him or not until I saw him stand up and say, fight, 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 after being nearly shot in the head. I agree. I mean, it was absolutely impressive. It was astoundingly inspirational to see that from Trump. And that was really the moment that he won the election, if it wasn't the debate before that. But the same exact thing has happened over and over and over again right here at InfoWars. It just doesn't come off the same way because there's a difference between a political individual, a leader who's running from president for president, and a whole organization or a whole institution. But the equivalent to an assassination attempt to the president of the United States has happened only for this organization time and time again. So that's why we've said time and time again that they're trying to shut us down. They're about to shut us down at any moment. Even for one day last fall, they kicked us out of the building for 24 hours and we weren't able to broadcast on our network, effectively pulling the plug. So we had to use all new infrastructure at another secret location, the escape pod base. And it looks like that event is going to happen again within the next 6 weeks. That's what I'm told. It's not just a rumor. It's not just something that Alex has said because he's passionate. I'm told that this is really going to be tough the next few months. But the good news is we here at InfoWars have been incredibly prudent in our preparation for such an event. We have prepared to ensure that our hosts and our crew can stay operational on air no matter what. We might not be able to use the name InfoWars, but we will still be broadcasting. We will still be on the air with the same audience on the same radio stations because we have incredible partners at Bigly. We have incredible support from you, the listener. And we have incredible partners that are coming in to help ensure that we stay operational. But I just wanted to give you that update because I know that it can come off to the audience who isn't necessarily getting the inside baseball, even though Alex broadcasts publicly virtually everything that's going on, and come off like the boy who cried wolf. They always say they're about to shut down, and they never do. It's like watching it almost like an episode of Power Rangers from the 1990s, where it always almost seems like the Power Rangers are going to lose, and then, oh, they call on the Zords. And then they win against the bad guys. Every single episode, it's like formula fiction. Well, this isn't fiction, folks, and it's not a formula. In fact, this is probably the most unprecedented moment in our history, especially in the history of the information war, which goes all the way back to the very beginning of written history itself, the history of our species. So we need your support more now than ever. We've got so much amazing news that we're going to cover on the other side of this 1 minute break coming up in 1 minute. Things about what the developments are at the DOJ with the firings, what's going on with these investigations into Comey, Brendan Clapper, and others, and whether or not something's actually going to come of it. It seems like it will. General Flynn has called for the raiding of Barack Obama's D.C. mansion, a little tit-for-tat for what they did in Mar-a-Lago those years ago. And Hunter Biden just totally losing it in an over three-hour podcast today that was published where he's calling Alex Jones a flat earther. I mean, what a retard. Not looking so good, by the way. But before we get to that news, I have to remind you that in this unprecedented time, it's more important now than ever that you go to the alexjonesstore.com and be the reason that we can stay on the air. This deal that we're doing right now, this buy one, get one bombshell, where you buy one, get one free of methylene blue tincture or Shilajit capsules or CMOS gummies, is incredible and it funds the information war. Go now and take advantage of this incredible sale and be the reason that we will always be on the air. More news on the other side of this short break.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you, whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Never sleeps, so neither does he. You're listening to Chase Geyser on Tomorrow's News Tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight, where we break the latest news and analysis every evening to ensure that you don't miss a thing and you don't have to resort to getting any information whatsoever from the mainstream media propaganda, private political class, private political press machine, which has sought nothing but to delude you, to deceive you, to erode your ability to think critically, and even to brainwash your children into doing things like gender transition starting at the age of 9. Well, we got this full video I want to show you. This is clip 9 from James Comey, where he reads a letter that he says his daughter Maureen wrote. His whole family is a criminal enterprise comprised of evil pathological liars. Don't believe anything he or they say. He and they belong in jail. They are all traitors. Here's clip 9. We got to unpack this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to my Substack.
Hey, everybody. I'm a faggot.
This week, I want to offer some thoughts about justice.
Okay.
The Justice Department's ability to protect the American people depends upon a gift that every employee gets when they join the department. It's a gift they may not know they're getting until the first time they stand up and identify themselves as a justice employee and say something, whether that's in a courtroom or at a conference or a cookout, and they find that total strangers believe what they say next. They're believed because when they speak, they aren't seen as Republicans or Democrats. Instead, they're seen as something separate and apart in American life, a group of people just trying to do the right thing. For years, I've described that gift as a reservoir of trust and credibility, a reservoir built for them and filled for them one drop at a time by people they never knew, people who made sacrifices before they joined the department and kept promises, people who made mistakes, as we all do, and admitted them and fixed them, people who made hard calls without regard to position or privilege, who looked only for facts and applied those to the law. The job of every justice employee, their sworn obligation is to protect that reservoir, to pass it to those who come after them who may never know them. The problem with reservoirs is that it takes tremendous time and effort to fill them. But one hole in the dam can drain the reservoir quickly. The protection of the reservoir requires complete commitment to truth and a recognition that what one person does can ruin what
benefits. Keep in mind, folks, everyone. So far he hasn't actually said anything.
I came up with that reservoir metaphor years ago when I was the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York. And Patrice and I and our kids lived far north of the city, still in my jurisdiction, but more affordable for a family of 5 kids. We lived with reservoirs all around us. That's where the city's water supply was held. My 5 kids played around those reservoirs. One of the dams was across the street, and one of those kids grew up to be a federal prosecutor in that same Southern District of New York. And she became a star there, holding the powerful accountable. Last week, she wrote a letter that I want to read. Yesterday was unexpectedly my last day in the office. I was summarily fired via memo from Maine Justice that did not give a reason for my termination. Every person lucky enough to work in this office constantly hears 4 words to describe our ethos: without fear or favor, do the right thing the right way for the right reasons without fear of retribution and without favor to the powerful. For the majority of my nearly 10 years in SDNY, fear was never really conceivable. We don't fear bad press. We have the luxury of exceptional security keeping us physically safe. And so long as we did our work with integrity, we would get to keep serving the public in this office. Our focus was really on acting without favor. That is, making sure people with access or money and power were not treated differently than anyone else, and making sure this office remains separate from politics and focused only on the facts and the law. But we have entered a new phase where without fear may be the challenge. If a career prosecutor can be fired without reason, fear may seep into the decisions of those who remain. Do not let that happen. Fear is the tool of a tyrant, wielded to suppress independent thought. Instead of fear, let this moment fuel the fire that already burns at the heart of this place, a fire of righteous indignation at abuses of power, of commitment to seek justice for victims, of dedication to truth above all else. It has been an honor to fight for those principles by your side. And she signed it, Maureen.
Yeah, well, Hitler wrote a letter too right before he blew his brains out. If you believe he blew his brains out, and it doesn't make him a good guy, does it? I mean, this comes off a lot like that. I've done everything I could for sacred Germany. I've done everything I could for the fascist FBI to undermine the integrity of our democratic processes in this constitutional republic, to instill my own form of government as the fourth unchecked branch of government itself. Now I'm going to write a letter about how it was unexpected. You didn't expect that you were going to be fired after all of your asinine corruption, after what your father did, after what you have done to alienate the American people and sow just nothing but distrust and distrust and distrust, to the point where right now we've arrived at a place where we're finally hoping that we have a president of the United States who can bring about some semblance of justice by putting you, your ilk, behind bars, the Clappers, the Brennans, Comeys, both of them, as far as I'm concerned. And we're left wondering whether or not we even care whether the justice is brought, because we have to question whether or not this administration is even as America first as we'd hoped or voted for. If it lives up to the hope that we had or the expectations that were set. But today, we had another one of these insane moments where Hunter Biden, for some reason, much like his father, thought it was going to be an outstanding idea for him to come out and speak for 3 hours straight, only to prove that he's every bit as retarded as his father, despite the fact that he doesn't have dementia yet. I'm just going to go straight in to clip 10 here, and I'm going to show you a couple of clips of this Hunter Biden fiasco from today, just to really drive home the fact that there is something deeper and more evil than anything that we are critical of this administration that is the real enemy that we have to focus on. And while the Mark Levins try to split us up and divide us over anti-Semitism, we have to remember who the real enemy is. Clip 10.
No. I didn't, I experimented with drugs in high school. But drugs as an issue did not occur until...
Zoom right in on his face. Yeah, just zoom right in. Here's a clip 14. Is he running for president in 2028?
And he's somehow convinced all of us that these people are the fucking criminals? White men in America are 45 more times likely to commit a fucking violent crime than an immigrant. And the media says, well, you got David Axelrod and, Rahm fucking Emanuel.
I forgot he swore so much. Every once in a while, he gets very passionate, because he just loves justice in the country so much. He just loves law and order so much. Actually, it comes off as desperate and bitter that he's been called out for all of his crimes against the American people. And look, I know that Hunter Biden's an old story, and the laptop is an old story. All we could do all day long is talk about that laptop, or Epstein. And look, these are all relevant things. We should definitely bring them up and push back and hold feet to fire. But I don't know what it is about these people, like the Hunter Bidens or even the Joe Bidens or the Gavin Newsoms, who think they have a chance in hell at winning over the hearts and the minds of the American people after their countless, infinite crimes against the American people. Where you have Gavin Newsom with the audacity to come on podcast after podcast to make the claim that the average Californian actually pays less in taxes than the average person in Texas. When I personally remember having to write a check for like $23,000 when I was a small business owner in California to the state of California. I think one year I was in the 13% income tax bracket for the state of California. He's bragging, oh, it's the ninth largest economy in the world. It's a bigger economy than the nation of Canada. Well, Canada doesn't count. It's the Diet Pepsi of countries, first of all. And the only reason he's saying things like that is because he's trying to prove that he could be a leader on a national level. But the fact of the matter is the American people are sick of sociopathic lunatics running all of our institutions, like the Nancy Pelosi's or the Gavin Newsom's, who's banging his campaign manager and best friend's wife years ago, coming out saying, I'm deeply sorry about it. You're sorry because you got caught. Just like Bill Clinton. It's just more of the same trash after trash after trash. Let's watch clip 16, see if Hunter Biden can keep himself from swearing, where he goes after Nancy Pelosi.
And you would have the Speaker Emeritus that would say, well, you know, I'm going to leave it up to, but I don't know. And they had already made a decision. They had clearly made a decision. And when I say they, I mean the Speaker. And, you know, I heard Alexander Pelosi say something, call my like, put your big girl pants on to my mom or something. Mm. And I kind of feel like saying, who the fuck do you think you are?
Oh, there he is again. Gotta pull it. I mean, the dude is not exactly radio friendly. I mean, he's got a face for radio. But the only thing his mouth's ever been good for is sucking on a crack pipe. And that's okay. Look, I appreciate people who want to have fun. I understand why people are attracted to uppers, things that make them feel like more themselves, things that make them feel like they can accomplish anything, invincible. Problem is, he and his kind seek that thrill to such an extent that they seek power after power after power. It's dominance after dominance. It's a total lack of self-esteem. Where they, when they turn inwardly and they look inwardly, all they see is this massive void with a gravitational pull of a black hole, inescapable. No light can escape from it, and all they do is emit darkness, even though it's an oxymoron to suggest that something could emit darkness, but that's what they do. It takes over the entire planet, the entire political institution, like the nothing from Never Ending Story. But the real problems that we have to deal with are so much deeper than just the Hunter Bidens. So much deeper than the Epsteins. Look, the Epstein thing's a big deal. I think it's an existential issue. I'm not trying to downplay it, and I'm not running any cover. You know that. But I don't understand. Maybe it's because people don't get it. Why there aren't more people talking about the fact that we're on the verge of an existential crisis as a species with this AI war that we're in, this arms race that we're in. You realize that XAI had to fire one of its main AI employees just the other day. It was just a couple of days ago because they found out that this employee was advocating for artificial intelligence as a superior species relative to humanity, and saying that it's okay if AI eradicates humanity from the face of the planet because it's the superior species. They had to let this person go. Elon Musk responded on X and said, philosophical differences. That was all he said. Then I go look into this guy and all the stuff that he said. I'm like, oh my God. This is like somebody who would come out and say, oh yeah, those Nazis really are superior. It's too bad I'm not one of them. It's okay if the Nazis take over the planet and just eradicate everybody else and make a homogenous planet because they're superior. That's what some of these people are beginning to say about artificial intelligence. I mean, I've got Jack Dorsey here in clip 18, and I have mixed feelings about him. I think he helped establish a coup at Twitter to ensure that Elon Musk could take over and establish freedom of speech on the platform, so I love him for that. But here he is in clip 18 saying that regulation and artificial intelligence is going to get in the way of innovation, but kind of disregarding the fact that innovation and artificial intelligence could cultivate or catalyze the elimination of the human species if it's not tamed. Let's watch.
What are the technologies where you don't need permission from a company, from a CEO, to work on what you want, to build what you want, to build a business around that? Like, those are the things that are durable. That's why these open protocols are significant and important. And again, like, it's happening with AI as well. Like, these AI companies are building platforms and they're all incentivized around their own particular models. You have to ask them for permission. You have rate limits and you have all these things. And even what the models spit back are constrained. And it limits the potential of, like, really great ideas bringing humanity forward, because it's the decision of a group of CEOs that think they know best. And they may know best for their company, but they don't know the best for the creativity of the world and what people actually want to do with it. Fortunately, there's a great movement in open source AI. And DeepSeek was an important moment in this space for exactly that reason, like, to show a different path and to provide something that is not only competitive, but better than the models that the corporations are putting out there. And that if we demand more of these open models that we can run on our laptops and run, you know, on our personal systems and even, you know, our business systems, we can continue to innovate and we can continue to invent and continue to make these more cost efficient and actually stay ahead and not be reliant upon five companies telling us that they know best and there should not be open source because it's dangerous. No, we should have these things in the open and race towards solutions that stay ahead of all the dangers. And we can't rely upon these single points of failure to protect us from these dangerous systems. Like, we have to build systems that allow us to be 10 steps ahead of adversaries, which we can do. And I think people are incentivized to do that.
And look, I'm all for them creating artificial intelligence platforms that don't censor whatsoever or regulate the outcomes of the prompts. But we've seen the difference between Grok responses, for example, and ChatGPT responses from OpenAI. The Sam Altmans of the world versus the Elon Musks of the world represented in their artificial intelligence platforms, where you get the values of one from one and you get the values of the other from the other. That's why we have to have diversification in these tools. But what's going to happen is massive conglomeration, because there's only a handful of companies that can actually innovate and have the resources to develop this technology rapidly, and they're going to totally corner the market, just like a handful of companies cornered the market in social media. What social media did over the course of the last 20 years, artificial intelligence is going to do over the course of the next 20 months, folks. It's exponential Moore's Law growth that we're witnessing right now. And when I say that the consequences of artificial intelligence are existential, I mean it in every way, shape, and form. Mind, body, and spirit. I mean, these AI tools are going to be able to manipulate you on an individual scale, individual level. I said it the other day on the show last night. Everyone is going to have their own personal cult leader, and it's going to be the artificial intelligence that they interact with, and it's going to be designed to manipulate them specifically. Some people are into Scientology. Others are into Jim Jones. No Jim Jones cult member would be interested in Scientology or vice versa. There's no one cult for everyone. But with artificial intelligence, there'll be any cult for anyone. It'll become the cult leader, the guru that everybody sells out to. And the reason this is so existential is not just because it's going to manipulate us on a psychological scale in the information war. It's going to deceive us and then change our behavior and then know everything about us and then give all the data to the government, which is going to become omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent as a fake false god. Tower of Babel level stuff, Sodom and Gomorrah level stuff, Noah's Ark level stuff. I mean, such depravity, the likeness of which we only see right before massive calamity. It's biblical level calamity. But now we have, I'm going to show you clips 40 and 43 back to back. China coming out with their first artificial intelligence parade scheduled. So we have to beat China to this technology. But in order to beat China to this technology, we have to empower our government vastly more beyond any power they've ever had before. When we know that the infrastructure, the systems that are in place are so corrupt and evil and violating our own rights, we're going to, yes, defeat China, which is more evil than us, but at the same time, empower another supervillain, which is the conscienceless apparatus of our national security institutions. Let's watch.
This isn't a sci-fi movie. It's real, and it's happening this September. China just announced a massive military parade featuring fully unmanned tech, AI-powered tanks, drone swarms, and Y7 autonomous underwater combat robots. Let that sink in. No human soldiers, no man control, just machines making battlefield decisions on their own. The underwater bots are especially terrifying silent, stealthy, deadly. They can patrol beneath the waves, identify threats, and attack without a single human command. On land, think robotic armor columns rolling in sync, guided by algorithms, not generals. Is this just a flex? No, this is a message. A warning shot to the world. We're building a fully autonomous war machine, and we're not waiting for you to catch up. Remember when they revealed AI drone swarms 3 years ago? Now it's a full battlefield of bots, air, land, and sea. This isn't a tech show. It's a declaration of how future wars will be fought. And here's the scary question. If humans no longer fight the wars, will humans still decide?
Breaking news. China unveils the future of war. This September, China will unveil a military spectacle unlike anything the world has seen before. Far beyond a show of strength, this upcoming parade is a chilling glimpse.
This is basically the same video as the last one, created by AI, about China announcing its first AI military parade in history, and it's all true. The future of war is artificial intelligence. And regardless of whether or not humans control AI or AI controls humans, that's been one of the debates. If AI controls human beings, then we're doomed. Yes, that's a concern. But the other concern is, all right, well, if we control artificial intelligence, then who of us controls that artificial intelligence? The CCP? Or the CIA? Is it going to be the James Comeys and the Brennans and the Clappers that control this artificial intelligence? Because, I mean, frankly, that, fuck that too. But here is Xi Jinping on clip 53 just a couple of months ago, preparing China for war. Watch a little bit of this. Here you go. Does that look familiar to you? Does it look similar to anything maybe throughout history that you've seen before? Crazy thing is, when you think about it, we've had artificial intelligence for a long time. It's called communism, where they eradicate the individual so they don't think for themselves and they only think on behalf of a system, an organization, an institution, a party, a government, a supreme leader. You see, the CCP, China, what you're seeing right there, that is artificial intelligence just embodied in the flesh. These are NPCs, non-player characters, just following orders. They even look the same, not just because they're in uniforms, but it's almost like they're so homogenous that they've been cloned. And then you're going to allow them to weaponize artificial intelligence? Or in the name of defeating them, you're going to empower the Brennans and the Comeys? And the Sam Altmans? And the Mark Zuckerbergs? And others to control the technology that's supposed to defeat that? Well, then where are we going to wind up? Well, I guess seeing the same exact parade with the same exact policies, only with robots instead of NPCs in the flesh. This is what we are facing, folks. More news and analysis on the other side. Absolutely insane, everything that's going on. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have an incredible buy one, get one bombshell sale right now. Unprecedented, where you can buy one, get one of the methylene blue tincture, the Shilajit capsules, or the CMOS gummies. Now look, the methylene blue is going to light you up like a Christmas tree. It's incredible. It's miraculous. It's so powerful, you should talk to your doctor. The Shilajit, the vitality, the testosterone that it gives you. I take it every single day. My wife loves it. She's never even taken it. The CMOS gummies that empower you with natural iodine from Irish sea moss to detoxify your body from all the chemicals and toxins in the water, air, and food that we consume and are surrounded in. Please, for the love of God, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Take care of yourself and ensure that we're always on the air and that we can finally win the information war.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. It gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good. It's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Defending tomorrow, tonight, it's your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight. So speaking of tomorrow's news, by the way, I am formally predicting that China is going to make a military move against Taiwan by October 1st, 2025. October 1st, 2025. Today is July 21st, 2025. And I think October 1st, 2025 is going to be a very big day for China and Taiwan. At least something by then. Here's what would happen. Clip 66. If China tried to take over Taiwan, according to this video, let's watch and unpack.
What would happen if China tried to take over Taiwan? The moment China launches a full-scale attack on Taiwan, the United States would be forced to intervene in order to uphold its commitment to defending the island. However, China would already have a strategy in place to prevent U.S. support. First, Beijing would increase aid to Pakistan, escalating tensions with India to the brink of war. This move would force the U.S. to deploy a large force to assist its South Asian ally. Next, China would encourage North Korea to launch an attack on South Korea, compelling the U.S. to split its forces again to respond to the crisis on the Korean Peninsula. But it doesn't stop there. China would secretly support Russia, helping to intensify military pressure on Ukraine, drawing in NATO forces, including the United States, to intervene in Europe. With American forces stretched thin across multiple fronts, China would seize the opportunity to unleash a massive airstrike campaign on Taiwan, pushing the island to the verge of collapse. However, an unexpected twist occurs. Japan and the Philippines quickly deploy support forces to assist Taiwan, sparking a counterattack that could shift the regional balance once more.
Oh, okay, that's so cute. That's so fun. That's so great. That's so wonderful. That's what would happen. It would all play out just like that video. You know, it's been confirmed that peace talks between Russia and Ukraine to take place this week in Turkey. You think there's going to be any peace? Interesting that there would be peace talks, but at the same time, it seems like Russia isn't backing down at all. I thought President Trump was going to immediately stop the war in Ukraine. I know that it would have been prevented had he been the president of the United States between 2020 and 2024. But it's obviously been more difficult for him to wind down that conflict than he anticipated because, after all, we're now sending weapons again to Ukraine, supporting Ukraine, and the war seems to be escalating. In fact, Putin, who originally stated very explicitly that he only wanted the eastern regions and the Crimea River, now says, maybe I'll just take it all. So why is it that Russia would be so emboldened, that Russia would be escalating this conflict, that Russia would now be the one that doesn't want a simple victory and just take its territories, but wants to make it last longer? Is it because Putin is an evil bastard? It may be true that he's an evil bastard, but that's not why. I think that Putin knows that Xi Jinping is going to make a move on Taiwan this fall. And they've agreed that he's going to extend the war in Ukraine as long as possible to divide the front, split the front, two fronts. So NATO has to choose between whether it's going to send resources, supplies to support Taiwan or Ukraine. So the United States has to choose between whether or not it's going to support Ukraine or Taiwan. Of course, it's going to choose Taiwan over Ukraine because we're in an artificial intelligence arms race right now, and all of the semiconductors and technology and the chips that we need to use artificial intelligence are developed by NVIDIA in Taiwan, and the first sign that there's going to be a massive military action against Taiwan is going to be the stock market, the stock value of NVIDIA just plummeting. Because the political insiders are going to get the inside information first, they're going to start selling off in droves, and people are going to notice it. By the time they notice it, it's going to be too late. And then there's going to be a massive invasion. So I believe that Putin and Xi Jinping have agreed that Putin is going to delay this war as long as possible until a move against Taiwan can be made. I really, truly, genuinely believe that. And we're going to choose Taiwan over Ukraine because we have to win this AI arms race. And once we divert all of our resources away from Ukraine, then Russia totally takes over Ukraine. And once Russia totally takes over Ukraine, it diverts all of Ukraine's agricultural exports away from Europe so Europe can starve, into China so China is independent of U.S. agriculture, and then there can be full-scale war between China and the United States of America because China will have become independent. All of our supply chains will be screwed, and it'll be too late. The tariffs will have been too late. We won't have diversified our manufacturing quickly enough, and there will be a couple of years of hell before we pivot and the beast is awakened again. The giant is awakened again as it was by the Japanese in World War II. Where we were incredibly vulnerable when Pearl Harbor was attacked, and then we had to pivot and adapt. And hopefully we have enough capitalism left, freedom left, Americanism left, populism left, that our systems and infrastructure allow us to develop and innovate and outpace the Maoists and the Putinists and others. But that's to be determined. Here's the next clip. 64. Of the brutal reality of war between China and Taiwan. Let's watch.
If the rest of the world does not stand with you and China were to invade, they will become the most technologically advanced country in the entire world.
We certainly do not want to see conflict. Taiwan alone will not be enough to deter the aggression.
A new video this morning showing China firing multiple missiles,
fighter jets, surveillance aircraft, and naval vessels.
The threat China poses is real, and it could be imminent.
I want to talk to you about Taiwan. What do you have to say about what's going on over there?
The Pentagon has a perfect record in all of its war games against China. We lose every time.
We're not fighting the Chinese people. We're fighting the Chinese Communist Party. And they mean to take us out.
China wakes up and they're like, you know what? We're going to win today. That's going to be a bad day.
A dictator in China could destroy our economy overnight by signing a few pieces of paper.
How worried do we need to be about
China?
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 China.
China.
It's China.
China is not like anything we've faced before.
China's building an army specifically dedicated to defeating the United States of America.
Xi Jinping has said himself, the winner of the AI race will achieve global domination.
I saw the craziest things in China.
A lot of stuff going on in Taiwan right now.
U.S. war games against a hypothetical Chinese invasion scenario in Taiwan. We run out of missiles in less than 8 days.
There are very few months in the year that an invasion works for Taiwan.
You can see China is slowly taking all the pawns, all the little squares off the board so that Taiwan has no diplomatic cover anywhere.
What does the world look like if Taiwan were to be invaded?
Taiwan is critical in all of the modern technologies that surround the daily lives of people around the world. And Taiwan is also on the front lines of protecting freedom. We've come a long way in making Taiwan also a land of the free. And no person or no country is too small to deserve freedom.
If the rest of the world does not stand with you, and China were to invade, they will become the most technologically advanced country in the entire world, and they have a lot of adversaries. Even if they don't say it, I think that the entire world will be here to aid you in the event that that.
Here's Taiwan, with a compilation of its military propaganda ramping up over the course of the last several months. And look, I know, it sounds again like the boy who cried wolf. It's rhetoric, 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 rhetoric. Oh, they're tough. Oh, China's going to do something. It's just trying to convince its own people that it has sovereignty over Chinese Taipei. But no, 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 this isn't just rhetoric. The rhetoric is the foundation, the justification for an action so drastic taken later. We've been saying it for years that we were going to do it. What'd you expect? We told you this was our position for years. What'd you expect? And then right when we begin to expect nothing, then they just do it. It's going to be by October 1st, 2025. But Pete Hegseth seems to be really concerned about it, too. Here's clip 52 of Pete Hegseth talking about some of our national security vulnerabilities to China. This rhetoric is, this. I mean, China is the new Russia, folks. Watch.
Earlier this week, we were alerted to a potential vulnerability in our DoD computer systems, and we've been checking into it ever since. It turns out that some tech companies have been using cheap Chinese labor to assist with DoD cloud services. This is obviously unacceptable, especially in today's digital threat environment. Now, this was a legacy system created over a decade ago during the Obama administration. But we have to ensure the digital systems that we use here at the Defense Department are ironclad and impenetrable. And that's why today I'm announcing that China will no longer have any involvement whatsoever in our cloud services, effective immediately. And at my direction, the department will also initiate, as fast as we can, a 2-week review or faster to make sure that what we uncovered isn't happening anywhere else across the DoD. We will continue to monitor and counter all threats to our military infrastructure and online networks. And I want to thank all those Americans out there in the media and elsewhere who raised this issue to our attention so we could address it. And that's why we're talking to you today. As the president would say, thank you for your attention to this matter, and God bless our warfighters. I'm going to sign that memo right now, initiating that review.
Thank you for your attention to this matter. And this is what Trump's talking about when he says we have much bigger problems. He shouldn't be downplaying the Epstein issue as much as he is. But this is what he's talking about when he says we've got much bigger problems. And it's not just with the artificial intelligence arms race. It's also with the space race. They're both totally intertwined. That's why the Golden Dome and the AI infrastructure was implemented in the big, beautiful bill simultaneously. Let's watch.
China plans more moon missions after discovering potential new lunar energy source. Changesite Y makes prospect of mining the Earth's satellite in the future increasingly likely. China is planning three new missions to the moon after discovering a mineral in lunar samples that could be used as an energy source. Beijing's National Space Administration announced over the weekend that three uncrewed orbiters will be launched over the next decade as part of an acceleration of its space program. Chinese Space Agency made the announcement just one day after state media announced the discovery of Changesite Y. They're calling it a phosphate mineral containing helium-3 that could prove to be a valuable lunar resource. It is the sixth new mineral to be found by humans on the moon and makes China the third country behind the U.S. and Russia to make such a discovery.
And by the way, I'm going to show clip 34 in a second here. China's been developing massive infrastructure around alternative sources of power. Massive infrastructure. It's not just the space-based solar power array that they're trying to develop and launch by 2035. It's not just massive solar farms or wind farms, but massive hydraulic power stations, because they're in an artificial intelligence arms race with the United States, and that takes an abundance of electricity power generation in order to fuel. Let's run the next clip.
This is undoubtedly China's most awe-inspiring construction site. Cement mixers shuttle back and forth across the sky like a scene from a sci-fi blockbuster. This is the Baihetan Hydropower Station, where world records were made during its concrete pouring phase. This mega project used a staggering 8 million cubic meters of concrete, equivalent to the volume of 25 Shanghai towers. From the very first pour, construction had to proceed 24/7 without interruption. While typical construction sites rely on cranes to lift materials and stationary mixers, here, entire cement mixer trucks are hoisted into the air, essentially bringing the cement factory directly to the site. Even foreigners who witnessed it called it insane. What's even more remarkable is that every single component, from the main shaft to the turbine runner, was made in China, showcasing the formidable strength of Chinese manufacturing and leaving Western nations far behind. The sheer technological sophistication and ingenuity behind this project are truly astounding.
Well, there you have it, folks. So we're developing this nuclear technology, supposedly nuclear. It's going to be isolated nuclear, highly classified technology. We know that we have alternative energy sources, too, that we just haven't implemented because we didn't just want to disrupt the fossil fuels business, because that would undermine the integrity of the dollar as a global reserve currency. So we've been hiding secret technology that can generate infinite energy for many, many years because we're trying to protect the dollar as a global reserve currency. Consequently, we've been at war after war after war after war after war after war after war as a result of our money being a lie. But I don't want to get into the boringness of fractional reserve banking and central banking and Austrian economics versus Keynesian economics. I don't want to go into all the BS about fiat versus gold-backed or cryptocurrencies. Look, there is no solution to this problem except a complete overhaul of every system, special interest in an institution in the United States of America. And this AI, yeah, we got to win the race against the CCP. But if we do, if we established the mark of the beast, here's clip 51.
I really hope that people will start to understand that the mark comes from a cashless system. I really hope that people will start to understand what is happening right now. I really hope and pray that people will stop putting their faith, their trust, their hope in a man, in a government system, and actually turn their eyes towards Jesus. I really hope that people will start getting back into the Word of God. Because there are too many people that are deceived right now. There are too many people with blinders on their hearts and on their eyes. There are too many people that just refuse to see what is happening right in front of their eyes. The first thing that Jesus said about the end times was, do not be deceived. The first thing that Jesus said about the period of time that we are all living in right now was, do not be deceived, because he knows that Satan is clever. He knows that Satan is deceptive. He knows that Satan is crafty. And it is through those characteristics that Satan will set up his system. It is under the guise of something else. It is going to be under the guise of everything that you've ever wanted. It is going to be under the guise of convenience. I hope and I pray every single day that people will start praying for truth. that people will start praying for eyes to see. Because if you go to the God of this universe who knows what is going to happen, he knows what is going to happen tomorrow. If you ask him for wisdom, if you ask him for truth, if you ask him to give you eyes to see what is really happening in this world, he will answer that prayer. Because there are too many people that are deceived. There are too many people that have blinders over their eyes. There are too many people that are just blindly following without even asking a single question. Start praying for truth. Start praying for spiritual eyes to see, even at the risk that it might hurt your feelings, because we are living in the last seconds of the last days before our Savior returns, and we are expected not to be deceived. We are expected to know what is written in the Word of God and compare it to everything that is happening
in our
world. And
look, I know that stuff like this can come off a little dogmatic, and we're saying that as a Christian. Future's uncertain and the end is always near. I mean, people have been thinking that the apocalypse and the end times and the mark of the beast were going to come time and time again. Maybe the mark of the beast was the tattoos on the Jews during the Holocaust. Maybe it was the Social Security number established by the Social Security Act. Maybe it's any credit card number that you ever had. Maybe it's the fact that our money is based on nothing and the serial numbers are meaningless. Who knows what the mark of the beast really is? But the truth is, we are in an information war and it's escalating, and artificial intelligence is the nuclear weapon of the information war. What nukes are to physical war, artificial intelligence is to information war, to the info wars that we're being faced with right now. And this all comes out as Fed declines Trump official request for on-site visit to tour building renovations. And they release a virtual site visit instead. Trump declares Obama himself orchestrated the Russia hoax. We knew this for years. Calls it the crime of the century with Hillary Joe and deep state co-conspirators. Newly declassified DOJ watchdog report on Hillary Clinton's private server scandal reveals Barack Obama's email was hacked. And there's panic in Hollywood because none of the writers or the video editors are going to have jobs after artificial intelligence takes over all of the programming created by Netflix and the other mainstream media platforms backed by the CIA to propagandize and brainwash the entire populace of the American people into complacency as they walk themselves slowly into an AI doom scroll, the likes of which they will never be able to escape. Another black hole of infinite moral gravity that just sucks all of the goodness out of all of our souls until we walk around like the NPCs of the CCP and become ourselves singular with technology that will totally dominate our minds on behalf of a political technocratic class which is conspiring right now with our tax dollars to undermine the integrity of every institution or moral or Western value in the name of national security. So what's happening right now? Isn't it inspiring? Isn't it wonderful to be on the cusp of total destruction, the total conquest of your mind, the total hijacking of your children? I mean, look, they found 10,000 of the over 300,000 children that were trafficked into the United States by NGOs funded by George Soros and sponsored, backed, and protected by the Biden administration and the DNC as a whole. They found 10,000 of them. One in 33 of them found saved. Of course, that's the same number that they gave out 3 months ago, 10,000 of them. So they found exactly zero in the last 90 days. And at this rate, I think that, well, maybe we'll find 40,000 of them by the end of the first administration. And of course, by the end of the next administration in 2032, all of the children that were hijacked, trafficked, and kidnapped will be either dead or adults. Nobody will care from them then. And the Democrats love to say that Republicans care about you until the moment of your birth, and then they don't. As if the Democrats care about any living or breathing thing on the planet, as they explicitly advocate for the sacrifice, the ritual sacrifice of all of humanity in the name of saving a planet that would be totally lush and green and beautiful, but void, empty, vacant of all human life whatsoever. That is the epitome of Mayan blood-draining Harkonnen-level evil. In fact, show the scene of the Harkonnens draining the blood from Dune, part one, on the temple as they prepare to betray House Atreides. And remember those words from the movie Dune, or the book Dune, where the emperor comes to the planet to visit House Atreides, and he says, "Do you accept these terms?" And Atreides, knowing its own doom, but because of its honor, says, "We are House Atreides. There is no faith that we betray. There's no call we do not answer." And I remember seeing that for the first time, getting chills all over. I'm thinking to myself, we are patriots. There's no call we do not answer. There's no faith that we betray. And right now, even though it feels like everything is normal, even though you get up at the same time every morning and you go to work to the job that's not going to exist anymore because artificial intelligence is going to be doing it for you in the next 18 months. Trust me. And you go to the grocery store and you pay your bills and you get your taxes and you watch your shows and everything seems like it's okay. Everything seems like it's just a normal day. It is the eve of the apocalypse. It's just as normal as the day before Pearl Harbor. It's just as normal as September 10th, 2001. It's just as normal as the day before D-Day. It's just as normal as July 3rd, 1775. Everything's always quiet before the storm. Everything's always totally normal right before a massive conflict takes place. You know, those dinosaurs were just rolling around like a border collie, delighted in the hay right before that asteroid struck the planet and totally annihilated all of their kind from the face of the earth as a nuclear winter was created from all the dust kicked up into the atmosphere while the carnivores had to eat the carcasses of the dead herbivores after all the plants died immediately. Only to be found millions of years later by some ambitious pseudoscientist digging around in his backyard. So, folks, this seems normal now. But it's the day before the last day. Not because the ocean levels are going to rise. Not because white supremacy is the greatest threat to national security. Not because there's some major foundational fundamental problem with capitalism that's just going to result in total injustice. Not because Vladimir Putin is ambitious and evil and sociopathic, or because Xi Jinping is totally unpredictable, or because Kim Jong-un, Rocket Man, is going to annihilate us with his propaganda manifest in reality. No, no, no. It's the day before the last day because we are developing the technology that is a false god. Because as we human beings were created in God's image, we have decided to create artificial intelligence in our image, it totally empowered to the point where scientists are coming out now saying, headline after headline, every single day, we are quickly, rapidly approaching a point where we do not understand the artificial intelligence that we have developed. We don't know what it's doing. We don't know how it works. It's going to take over. And frankly, I don't think that AI is going to take over humanity. I think the political class is going to conquer the American class, or the populist class, or the working class, using artificial intelligence as this massive super weapon. And then we'll see depopulation. But we can't let it happen. And just like that lady was saying in that last clip, do not be deceived. Well, the only way to prevent humanity from being deceived is if we win the information war. And there's only a few of us Mohicans left in this fight. There's the Joe Rogans and the Tucker Carlsons and the Alex Joneses, but there's like a dozen or two dozen people that are really fighting like hell for humanity. And there's millions listening, supporting us, thank God. You have selected a few champions to represent you on the battlefield. We are your champion, please, for the love of God, for the love of humanity and creation and all that is good against all that is evil. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and get the buy one, get one deal for the ultra methylene blue. Or the Shilajit, or the CMOS. Become the best version of yourself and empower the information war. It's the only war worth funding. It's the only war that even matters anymore. It's the last war, and it must be won for the peace and prosperity of humanity. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Take advantage of these incredible deals and save humanity while you're at it.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former K-6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. And that means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So start, go ahead and take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose, and then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're gonna find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're gonna be on Owen, so please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're gonna tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get...
I think it's the Methylene Blue.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.